is in the midst thereof. Deceit and guile depart not from her streets. Listen closely to verse number 12. For it was not an enemy that reproached me. Then I could have borne it. Neither was it he that hated me that did magnify himself against me. Then I would have hid myself from him. But it was thou, a man, mine equal, my guide and mine acquaintance. We took sweet counsel together and walked unto the house of God in company. Let death seize upon them and let them go down quick into hell. For wickedness is in their dwellings and among them. As for me, I will call upon God, and the Lord shall save me. Now, this psalm is based around a portion of David's life that is outlined in 2 Samuel chapter 15 and 16 and 17. David had a son, and his son rose up against him to try and dethrone David and become king. Absalom, his son, plotted against him, and he formed an army and essentially ran David out of town, even to the point that, as if to twist the knife a little bit deeper, he actually hired a group of people in his army to walk through town with him, saying a chant, basically, Absalom is the king now. Absalom reigns, not David. His son rebelled against him in a major way. And during this rebellion, there was a man named Ahithophel. 2 Samuel 16 tells us that Ahithophel was David's counselor. He was a close friend and confidant to David. In this very psalm, he describes Ahithophel by saying, "We walked into the house of the Lord together. He was mine equal. He was my friend. He was my counselor. He was my guide. He was my helper. He was my right-hand man." This was a guy that was in David's inner circle. He was a close friend and confidant of David. And one day while David was hiding out from his son's advance, one of his messengers came to him, and here's what he said. He said, "David, I saw Absalom and his armies and what they were doing, and I saw his inner circle, and Ahithophel was among his counselors. And Ahithophel counseled Absalom to destroy David. Of course, we know that he didn't prevail. But you need to understand this. Ahithophel betrayed David deeply. Don't raise your hand right here, but just consider this in your heart. I wonder if you have ever had someone that you saw as a close friend and a confidant, somebody who you could count on, somebody who you could trust, somebody who would be there for you through thick and thin. And when the war began to rage, the spiritual warfare in your life, all of a sudden you looked around and they had seemingly switched teams. Or maybe it was like David, you found out through somebody else that they had, in confidence in another situation, turned their back on you. David was deeply betrayed in this moment. And in that time, he wrote down the words of Psalm chapter number 55. Notice what he says in verse number 12. For it was not an enemy that reproached me, then I could have borne it. Neither was it he that hated me that did magnify himself against me, then I would have hid myself from him. He said, if it was somebody that was always against me and was the enemy that was fighting against me, I think I could have handled that. But look at verse number 13. But it was thou, a man, mine equal, my guide and mine acquaintance. Here's what he said. And I can tell you this, as a pastor,
pastor, as a man, as a human being, I can understand where David was coming from here. He was saying, if this was somebody that I was crossways with, if this was an enemy, if this was somebody on the other side of the battlefield, I could deal with that. I could suffer that. I could handle that. I understand that that's the way that things go, but this was my friend that took counsel against me. This was somebody I loved. This was somebody I cared about. And if you've ever experienced that, you understand that's a whole different kind of hurt. And David begins to pray. And this is what I want to preach tonight for just a few minutes. If you'll go with me, I'm going to try to preach it. Prayer in deep hurt. Father, we come before you tonight. Lord, help me now. God, embolden, encourage me, fill me, empty me of self. Fill me with the words of your mouth. God, say to your people and to me, Lord, what you want said tonight. And we'll give you glory for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I don't know about you, church, but I do know about me. And I know that in my 35 years of life, there have been times when I have experienced the arrows of the enemy that have been shot at me. I'm talking about what the Bible calls the fiery darts of the wicked, the enemies of God rising up against the people of God. Spiritual warfare I have experienced in my life. I would say I've even experienced much carnal warfare. People who hated me for different reasons. And to be honest with you, some of them probably rightly so disliked and disdained me and got sideways with me for different situations and different things for all kinds of different reasons. Sometimes it's because of something I did or something they did or something I said or something that they said. A lot of times it's because of something I didn't say that caused the problem, or maybe it's because of something that I had that they wanted or vice versa. There's been all types of situations, but there's been a few times in my life when there was someone that I considered to be a friend and an acquaintance, a guide, a confidant, that I have come to find out was not what they purported themselves to be. And I can tell you this, I can fight the enemies all day long. I can fight against the wiles of Satan all day long, win or lose, and lay my head on the pillow at night feeling like I've done what I'm supposed to do. But when it comes to fighting this kind of battle, I'm telling you, it's different. When Jesus said, love your enemies, pray for them which despitefully use you. You know what we think about? Here's what we say. Well, that means we're supposed to pray for, you know, Nancy Pelosi, even though we don't like her. I mean, really, that's how we look at it. That means we're supposed to pray for, you know, the ones down there at the crack house. Now, hold on a minute. Hold on a minute. They can't despitefully use you unless they have some type of power in your life. I tell my children all the time, the only power somebody has to hurt you is the power that you give them. That's why it's so dangerous to give that power over. But I'm not just talking about the ones that that we love to hate. I'm talking about the ones that we don't want to talk about. I'm talking about the ones that when their name comes up. This happened to me this week. Can the preacher be real with you?
Preacher, come on.
A name come up in conversation, Brother Allen. I'm telling you, every hair on my neck stood up. And I don't even want to talk about what I was thinking in that moment. I'm talking about them that you think are on your side, and then it turns out they're on the enemy side. Not even necessarily on the enemy side, but not on your side. The betrayal of a friend is a deep, deep wound.
And I believe this psalm shows a progression of David dealing with this exact thing. Can I tell you something? Bitterness ain't just about stuff that happened between you and people that you'll never see again. Bitterness ain't just about stuff that ain't your fault. Bitterness blocks blessings. And bitterness, more often than not in the church, comes from people that we sit in the same building with all the time. Bitterness in the church, the vast majority of bitterness in the church is so counterintuitive, because the vast majority of bitterness within the church, in my experience, is held against people that are not even here no more. Yet they have harnessed our power because of our hurt. So I want to show you some things in this chapter that will maybe help you to pray through some of this deep hurt. Every person in this room, if you've lived any amount of time, has dealt with this kind of pain. This is the reality of the world we live in. And I can tell you this, there are things that have happened to me and things that I've done that I will never talk about from this pulpit. And you'll probably never sit down across the desk from me and talk about it. But those are the things that, if we're not careful, will build up the root of bitterness in our life to the place where we become ineffective. David said, in verse number 1, give ear unto my prayer, O God, and hide not thyself from my supplication. It's almost a statement of shame. He's saying, Lord, this is going to be hard to talk about. Can I tell you something? I was thinking the same thing driving down Webb Lake Road tonight coming toward this building. This is going to be tough to preach about. David said, Lord, just give me a minute right here. Have you ever had something that you just needed to get off your chest, and you've had to caveat it by saying, listen, just hear me out right here. Just give me a minute. Let me vent this off real quick before you start telling me what you think about it. He said, Lord, just hear me out right here. And then in verse number 2, he acknowledged his problematic nature. Look what he said in verse number 2. Attend unto me and hear me. Listen to how he describes himself. I mourn in my complaint. And I make a noise. It's almost as if he's saying, Lord, listen. Y'all married people. I'm a man. Okay. 7 days a week. All right. I'm not planning on transitioning. Okay, I'm a man. And I'm a man from the South, which means that I'm not supposed to be emotional. Now, right, wrong, or indifferent, we were taught by our fathers and their fathers before them that a man is supposed to be able to absorb things without becoming emotional in the moment. I can count on one hand the times I've seen tears come out of my daddy's eyes in my life. You understand? And it wasn't because he didn't want to cry. It's because he didn't feel like that was what he should do. Everybody with me? Say amen. Amen. But they sometimes, in the loneliness of night, me and my wife get to talking about a subject, and I'll say something like this. Now, I know I'm being emotional. I know I'm being dramatic right here, but I got to say it like this. David said, Lord, I know I'm being kind of boisterous about this. He said, I'm mourning my complaint. He said, I know this is not your fault. Y'all ever had to talk to somebody in customer service on the phone? I'm trying to make an illustration that connects your wires right here. But y'all ever said something like this? I know it ain't your fault, but let me unload on you what the problem is right here. I know. I was talking just recently to the people that
put on the braces on my daughter's teeth. Every time I talk to them people, they want money. And they ain't taking their braces off till they get their money. That's how that racket works. And I told that lady, I said, "Lady, I know it ain't your fault, but y'all were killing me. Y'all were bleeding me dry." She said, "I know. I can't do nothing about it." David said, "Lord, I know where I'm at." David said, "Lord, I know this ain't because of you. I know I'm being a little dramatic here." He was acknowledging his nature here. He was saying, "Lord, I know I'm getting a little wound up about this. I know I'm a little bitter about this. Lord, I understand that I'm probably not feeling the way that I should be feeling right here." Listen to me. I'm talking about praying through deep hurt, hard circumstances. There comes a time when you're going to have to look at the Lord like you do other people and say, "Lord, I understand now. I'm too mad about this. I don't know how to handle myself on this. I don't know how to talk about this. I don't know how to deal with it. I'm hurt, Lord. I know I should be able to just push on through this, but Lord, I'm making a noise here. I'm complaining. I understand that, but Lord, this hurts. This hurts." See, you can't be real until you can acknowledge how you really feel. Your feelings do not change the truth of God, but they are not invalid in the conversation. Because some of us, here's what we do. "All right, Lord, now lay me down to sleep. Let me pray for my enemies, Lord. Give them good things. And then I pray, Lord, for this and that. And good night. Amen." Oh, look up in here. Some of y'all got some stuff you've been carrying around for a while. And you need to just look at God and say, "Lord, I have no other way to say this. I can't stand this person. I hate what they've done to me. I hate the way it makes me feel. I hate what I got going on in my mind. I hate the way I feel about it. I hate what I want to do about it. I'm angry. I'm bitter. I'm mad." Y'all with me tonight?
Amen.
This ain't helping nobody else. It's helping the preacher. I'm talking about, listen, sometimes we're going to have to look at God and say, "Hey, Lord, this don't make no sense to me." I'm telling you, it's been times in my life when I've had to say, "Lord, why'd you even let me meet this person? If this was the way it was going to be. Lord, why'd you even let me get in this situation?" You say, "Preacher, that's out of line." No, listen to me. We have not a high priest that cannot be touched by the feelings of our infirmities, was tempted at all points like as we are, yet without sin. Therefore, we may come boldly before the throne of grace to obtain help in our time of need. Listen to me. I have a right to talk to Him as a son to a father and say, "Lord, I know I'm wrong about this, but I don't understand."
That's right.
He said, I'm... "Hear me out right here, because I know I'm... complaining. I know I'm being worrisome here." He acknowledged his nature. Not only that, he acknowledged his feelings. He said, "Lord, here's how I feel about it." Look at verse number 4. "My heart is sore pained within me, and the terrors of death are fallen upon me. Fearfulness and trembling are come upon me, and horror hath overwhelmed me. And I said, oh, that I had wings like a dove, for then I would fly away and be at rest. Lo, then I would wander far off and remain in the wilderness. Selah, I would hasten my escape from the windy storm and tempest." Listen, he acknowledged his fear and his dread. He said, "Lord, I'm scared. Lord, I've been caught off guard, and now I'm afraid. I just want to run away. I just want to quit." Let me tell you something. Every pastor knows that prayer. That's the Monday morning prayer. "Lord, I just want to quit. What are we doing?" Sometimes it's the late Friday night prayer. "Lord," and listen, I'll tell you one that I prayed. "Lord, am I even helping these people? Because I don't see it. Come on, somebody help the preacher out. I didn't know how to get out here. Hey, listen, parents. You ever just sit and thought about your youngins and thought, Lord, you said if I train up a child in the way he should go when he's old, you might depart from it. What am I missing here?
Yeah.
That's right.
Lord, what in the world? I mean, I'm scared. I'm afraid, David said. David didn't have nothing to be afraid of. Absalom was never going to be king. David was never going to be overthrown. God had already given David that promise, but David said, I'm so scared, I just want to run away from it. Because I don't know how to handle this. I got my son, he's after me. Last thing I want to do is have to kill my own son to retain my throne. I've got my best friend running with him. He's done turned his back on me. What am I supposed to do? I'm afraid. He acknowledged his feelings of fear and dread. He acknowledged, verse number 9, his feelings of anger. Look at this. Destroy, O Lord, and divide their tongues, for I have seen violence and strife in the city. Day and night they go about it upon the walls thereof. Mischief also and sorrow are in the midst of it. Wickedness is in the midst thereof. Deceit and guile depart not from her streets. You notice how his tone changed a little bit right there? He was saying, Lord, I'm so scared, I don't know what to do. This is my anxiety, it's through the roof, I'm overwhelmed, I don't know how to handle this. Just kill him! Lord, won't you just take him out? He acknowledged his anger. He said, Lord, I just assume you just rain down fire on him and be done with him. I'm sick of this mess.
And then in verse 12 through 14, he talks about Ahithophel and he acknowledges his feelings of hurt. He says, Lord, this was my friend. Look at what he says in verse number 14. We took sweet counsel together, walked unto the house of God in company.
I said, Lord, this guy, I love him. I don't know how to deal with this. I'm hurt.
I grew up rodeo when y'all knew that. One of the things I was thinking about with this, how many of y'all have ever watched bull riding? Y'all know what I'm talking about? Bull riding. You got to be a crazy person to do this, right? First of all. But whenever you see bull riding going on, you'll notice there's a couple of guys always in the arena on foot. Mm-hmm. They're bullfighters. Their job is to protect the rider against the animal that wants to kill it. And many times they will put themselves in between the rider and the animal if that's what's necessary to preserve him. They are there to put their life on the line. One of the worst butt chewings I ever seen anybody get in my life was when a young man fell off of a bull and laid on the ground, and that bullfighter came and positioned himself in between that bull and the ground and took a hard lick. And when all the dust settled, what we found out was this young man wasn't hurt to start with. The only thing hurt on him was his pride.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that bullfighter told him in so many words, next time you hit the ground, you better be running for the fence. If I ever see you laying on the floor of an arena again and something on you ain't broke beyond usage, me and you are going to have a problem. Because he was putting his life on the line for nothing. He wasn't really hurt. He was just pretending to be hurt.
Y'all with me? Say amen.
Amen.
David said, Lord,
this man has hurt me when all I was trying to do was love him. This man has caused my demise out of his own selfishness. And all I ever did for him was be a friend to him, be a helper to him. He acknowledged the reality of his pain. Some of us need to come face to face with the reality of what's really hurt us. In our conversation with God.
He acknowledged his nature, his complaint, his noise. He acknowledged his feelings. And then I'd give you this and I'll be done. He acknowledged in the end God's place in the situation. In verse number 15, he makes a suggestion about how God ought to deal with this. Verse number 15, let death seize upon them, and let them go down quick into hell. For wickedness is in their dwellings and among them. He said, Lord, if it was up to me,
I'd say just kill them. Send them to hell and be done with it. That's where they deserve to be anyway. Hey, can I say thank God we ain't God? Amen. But he said, Lord, here's one way you could deal with it that I would be comfortable with. But then I want you to look at verse number 16.
As for me, I will call upon God, and the Lord shall save me.
Here's what David did. He let God know that he knew that God was going to handle it the right way. David said, Lord, I mean, if you're open to suggestions, just go ahead and take them out. That's how mad I am. That's how angry I am. But I tell you what I'm going to do, Lord. I'm going to just let you be God and I'm going to be David. He said, as for me, I'll call upon the Lord. And the Lord shall save me. He said, Lord, however you let this thing shake out, that's going to be right. Now I'm mad. And I'm angry and I need your help. But I don't know what to do from here besides give it to you. Let me tell you what will help you through deep hurt. It's coming to a realization that no matter how you feel, no matter how right or wrong you are, God is still in control. God handles blessings and God handles wrath. And not only does he do it, he does it right every time. There's some people that's hurt me. It's hard for me to let it go. But I tell you what's helped me let some things go is knowing that when I let it go, it wasn't just going out into oblivion, but I was handing it over to the hands of God.
Amen.
See, he's going to fix it better than I could.
Amen.
He's going to handle it better than I ever could.